Well, I've been chatting to my guest in the studio. Now, I'm joined in the studio by legendary comedian Jimmy Jones. He's been in the industry for over 50 years, winning Club Mirror Comedian of the Year Award, the first non-TV comic to ever win. He's played at Las Vegas, London Palladium, plus sellout seasons at the Strand Theatre in London, all over Essex, all over London. He's the first stand-up ever to release a video. Jimmy has inspired so many of today's comedians, and his stand-up shows still sell out, and he's got fans right the way across the world. So very good morning. Thanks for coming
Good morning. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. You're welcome. Now, I was going to say, I didn't realise, looking at your bio, you're local.
Yeah, I was brought up in Raynham. My life story is I was originally born in Southampton, 1938. So that's given some of the people an idea. My mother was Irish.
Yep.
And I had four sisters and a brother. And there was rumours of the war. And my mum, being Irish, said, "We're not staying down here in Southampton where the bombs are falling. We're moving to London."
Mm.
And that was my mum,
yeah.
and that was, and we moved first of all to Bethnal Green, and I was there for a very, very short, I was only a baby. My mum was a staunch Catholic, and the church moved us out to Raynham in Essex, and I lived in Cherry Tree Close, and I was brought up in Cherry Tree Close and Raynham. I lived in Hornchurch, and of course now I live in Upminster, lived in Upminster for a long, long time now.
Yeah, I like Upminster, that's where I'm aiming for. Hopefully one day I work my way up from where I am, because that's the posh bit in Upminster. Nice fish and chips there as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, high tide is banful.
See, we know. So you might not know this if you're in Brentwood, but we know what we're talking about. Before you got into comedy, you were training to be—is that right? A priest.
I wanted to be a priest.
Yeah.
I was because I was a staunch Catholic. I was an altar boy, and because I lived the nearest to the church. So I always got the 7:30 mass as the altar boy. And it was an American organisation,
yep.
the priests were. And St. Vincent de Paul, and I went to their places and I thought, this is a wonderful life. I was taught at St. Peter's School in Dagenham by nuns.
Yep.
I got two good hidings, I can remember them now. I got a good hiding from a nun by the name of Sister Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me a good idea for smoking in the toilets.
Yep.
And I was 7 years of age. And I've never touched a cigarette since.
No.
I got another good idea by Sister Dominic, who is our music teacher. And when I say a good idea, I mean a good idea. Not like they are today. The nuns used to have a strap tunic, and they'd whack you round the legs with the strap, and it hurt. And you didn't tell your mum because you'd got a good idea when you got home. It was Sister Dominic that said, I was talking about the priesthood and one thing and another like that, and she said to me, I think that God has given you the talent to be an entertainer. I could always sing. I was singing in the church choir all the time and everything else like that. And I used to do two midnight masses.
Mm.
I used to sing at one at Last Let at Raynham, and then they'd put me in a car in those days,
yeah.
And chase me to St. Peter's in Dagenham. And I would do Ave Maria there.
Mm.
And it wasn't until years later, I was working at the lakeside at Camberley. And as I went on stage, they said, "You've got a special guest in tonight, Jonesy." I said, "Have I?" So they said, "Yeah, Dudley Moore's in the audience." Yeah, pigs might fly. So anyway, I did the show and one thing and another. And then in those days, I used to sing as well as tell comedy. As I went back to the piano to get a drink, my MD, Ken Dyer, God rest his soul, turned and said, "Dudley Moore is here." And I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Serious."
Mm.
So at the end of the show, I turned and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please don't bother him." I said, "But in our business, it's an accolade for another entertainer to come to watch you work."
Mm.
I said, "But when a superstar comes to see you, I've got to tell you, it's blown me away.
Yeah.
Please come backstage and have a drink." I said, "And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you. I don't know where he is in the audience. Dudley Moore's here tonight." And he stood on the table. Anyway, he came backstage and we broke open a bottle of champagne and one thing and another. And we were sitting talking with Bob Potter. And he said, "I know you, don't I?" So I said, "Do you?" So he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've known you for years and years and years."
Mm.
So I said, "Well, how do you know me?" He said, "You used to sing Ave Maria in St. Peter's Church in Dagenham, Gorsall Road. I said, yeah, I did. He said, I was the organist.
Yeah.
And I said, you weren't. And he said, yeah, I was. And of course, it carried on from there. That a couple of years later, I went to work Vegas. I was doing a radio show similar to yours, only in a campus in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And this guy, his name was, I can always remember, his name was Lord Tim. And his only rise to fame was, he was the first person in America to play a Beatles album. And this Lord Tim didn't want Jimmy Jones on his show. And he turned and said, all you Brits out there, we got a guy here by the name of Jimmy Jones from London, England. If you want to talk to him, the lines are going to be open. He'll be on the air in 5 minutes. The first phone call comes through. Yeah, he said, can I talk to Jimmy? He said, certainly, by all means. And who are you? He said, I'm Dudley Moore. He said, what? The Dudley Moore? He said, yeah, the Dudley Moore. Hello, Jim, how are you? I went, hello, Dad, how are you? And from then on, this Lord Tim changed his attitude towards Jimmy Jones. And, of course, Dudley flew down to see me in Vegas on the third, because we started there in Vegas. We started on a Thursday night and finished. Their week's 10 days. Because you start on a Thursday, but don't finish till the following Sunday.
Yep.
And Dudley did it, and several of his mates, and one thing like that. And I had a great, great time. And of course, they wanted me to stay in, but I didn't particularly like Vegas. I'm not a gambler. I don't gamble at all. And unless you gamble, you don't want to go to Vegas. Unless you're going to go and see all the shows. And I saw all the shows. I went and saw Engelbert. I went and saw Tom. I went and see Skelet. I went to see so many of them. It was lovely, you know. It really was good fun. I had a great 10 days there.
It's funny, because I was going to ask you, because one of the people that I wish that I'd met was Dudley Moore. He was a bit of a ladies. Well, he went out with very tall, very good-looking ladies. And he was, as a composer and a musician, amazing. And you always meet people. And funny, because if you're from Essex, it's my friend's parents say, he was a prefect at school, or I knew him from Dagenham, because I went to school in Dagenham as well, obviously years afterwards.
He's the only man I know that had platforms on plimsolls.
He was 5 foot 1, wasn't he?
He was loved. And of course, it was quite funny. When I'd finished the show in Vegas, they were still being a bit strict about you couldn't smoke when taking off on the plane. And I was flying first class coming back, and who should be sitting there but Peter Cook. And he looked over, he went, hello, Jonesy, how you going? Oh, you've been talking to Dudley. I said, hello, Pete, because I knew Peter Cook as well.
Yeah.
And all the way, and he's got a fag on. And one of them said, who's going to tell him to stop smoking? And none of the stewards said, I ain't going over near
him. No, definitely not.
Shut up the back.
people always ask this about comedians, so I'm going to ask it, not very original, but when did you realise that you were funny? When did you realise that you could get people to
It wasn't laugh? Me that realised it, but I used to be a singer, and of course I was what they call a session singer at one time. I used to go into the studios, and they would give me a record or a piece of paper with a pianist, and I would learn the song in the morning, and then I would sing it in the afternoon, and they would cut a vinyl tape. And then they would take that, they might cut two or three, and then they would take them to different singers and see whether they wanted them, sort of, you know, and bits and pieces like that. And I sang the Green Green Grass of Home long before it was ever released, and a couple of Engelberts and stuff like that, because I was a friend of different writers there. But I was working for a fellow by the name of Eddie Kasner, and of course I went out onto the circuit, and I went into the Royal Standard at Walthamstow. I was working 7 days a week and Sunday lunchtime. Sometimes if we had some singers in, I had an easy night. If we didn't have any singers in the audience, it was me singing all night, and I had a very bad throat. I used to think that brandy and port would be good for the throat. And I was getting well sloshed personally every night. And the Royal Standard at Walthamstow was great to me. But anyway, I finished up there. I went to see a specialist. And he said, you've got terrible trouble with your throat. I was 23 years of age.
Yeah.
He said, you've got to stop drinking, and we're going to have your tonsils out next week. Mrs. Wheatley, Bob Wheatley's mum, Lil, lovely, lovely lady, she said that she knew I had a family as well. And she turned and said, right, okay, you can still come in, sit on the stall, and introduce people.
Yep.
and she put in a load of guest artists around me. And there was a comedian there, God rest his soul, by the name of Ronnie Twist. And Ronnie Twist turned and said, "Why don't you nick my act?" He said, "You're a funny bugger."
Hmm.
He said, "Your timing would be right. Nick my act," he said, "or nick anybody's act. The only thing to do is remember where you nicked the gag from. And if you can change the gag, change it to the way that..." So I started to tell comedy.
Mm.
I started it in, so that I didn't have to sing so much. So I was doing comedy. If they told me a gag, then I would change that gag. And I would probably, if they told the gag, I'd make it Irish, Scottish, Welsh. The more outrageous I was, the better the comedy went.
Yep.
And I can always remember, when I was 11 years of age, my father was the head waiter on the Queen Mary. And he came back off of a cruise, and he said to my mum, "We're going out tomorrow night. We're going to East Ham Palace." Now, some of you have never heard of East Ham Palace, but as you went out of East Ham Station, there used to be a lovely theatre called the East Ham Palace. He said, "I've got three tickets. We're going to see the show."
Mm.
Well, when we got there, it was Max Miller. Apparently, he'd been on the cruise with my dad. And as part, he gave my dad's name was Albert. And he said, "Albert, there's three tickets." So when I got there, they wouldn't let me in because I was too young. So he said, "But Mr. Miller's, give us the tickets." So I said, "Well, I suggest you go around the stage door and have a word with Mr. Miller." So we walked around to the stage door, and he said, "Do you mind him listening to me?"
Mm.
And my dad said, "No, I bought him specially to see you." So he said, "In that case, then, you come in here, son. You go and sit down, sell that other ticket." "Sell that other ticket," he said, "and you can sit on the side of the stage and watch me."
Yeah.
And I watched Max Miller, and the charisma from the man was special.
Yeah.
And afterwards, my dad and that came round for a drink in this restaurant. And he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "The establishment hate me." He said, "But they have to work me because I put bums on seats." And he did. No matter where he worked, Max Miller, the place was sold out because he was risque.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm risque. I know I'm risque. I know what I do. And I don't mean to upset anybody or offend anybody, but I know what I do.
Mm.
And I'm pleased to say that I'm rather hoping that on the 14th of October, those of you out there are the slightest bit down in the dumps or whatever, if you care to come to Romford and to the Premier Theatre upstairs, the cinema upstairs, laughter is the best healer in the world.
Yes.
And I promise you, with the aid of a very, very funny man, and I mean a very funny man, Mr. Mickey Pugh, Mickey Pugh and myself will give you 2 hours of laughter.
Now, Mickey Pugh, I thought he might be coming in today, but he's not. If you're listening, Mickey, I was going to say, Mikey Porter has said, "Barry McCann, a Hoover, Russ Williams in your shed bar, stag night." He said, "You will know what that means." It sounds a little bit ominous to me, but...
Well, Mickey's got a bar about as big as your studio here at the bottom of his garden,
show
and
off.
He calls it Arkwright's.
Right.
Because it's open all hours.
Yes.
And you go down there and you don't come out of there sober, I can assure you. That's Michael's, it's called Arkwright's, and it's lovely. It's renowned throughout the business.
Yes.
Renowned.